Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Christopher Douthat had so many good things going for him in October of 2013, but he also had hardships and sadness. Chris and his pregnant girlfriend were assaulted in February 2013. In August of 2013, one of their babies, they had just had twins, passed away. Their little girl was doing well, however, and Chris was ecstatic about being a dad. By October, however, Chris and his girlfriend were no longer together, and they were, in fact, in the midst of a custody dispute over their baby girl. All of this at the age of 24 would be a lot for anyone, but Chris was getting through it. He had a good job at a roofing company, and he still maintained that friendly, loving, and helpful spirit he always had. Chris was also very close to his family. In fact, it was his mother who dropped him off at work the morning of October 25th, 2013, around 6:30 a.m. Chris worked as a roofer, and he was genuinely a likable guy at work, too. But on this day, Chris and the crew would finish up work early, around 1:30 p.m. A coworker drove him to the Kroger in Vinton, Virginia, where he would cash his paycheck just after 3 o'clock p.m. After that, a friend took him to Chaps Tavern. He was too early for his afternoon ride home, so he made some phone calls to make plans and kill time. Chris did speak to a woman he was going to meet up with later on that evening. Their phone call took place around 4:30 p.m., and in the midst of that call, Chris suddenly said, "Hang on, there's someone I know," and the phone disconnected from there. That would be the last known contact anyone would have from Chris Douthat. Everyone he knew, his female friend he had been speaking to, and pretty soon his mother and brother, began calling him nonstop, trying to find him, but he never answered the phone. Actually, it seemed that the phone had been turned off completely. Chris has not been seen or heard from since. Where is Christopher Ray Douthat? Christopher Douthat was born and raised in the Roanoke, Virginia area. He was exceptionally close to his family, particularly his mother Mary and his brother Michael. Chris was always an outdoorsy kid. He loved everything about the outdoors. His favorite hobbies growing up and into his young adulthood were fishing and hunting. Chris also enjoyed playing the guitar. Chris was always known as the helpful one. He often helped people with mechanical issues, and he wouldn't charge them if they were down on their luck. Occasionally, he took on some side jobs too, and while there were a couple of times people took advantage of his generosity, he never stopped being thoughtful, kind, and helpful to everyone. By 2013, Chris was a young man now. He was 24 years old, and he was in a serious relationship, and they would soon discover that she was pregnant, and they would be having twins. In February of 2013, something terrible happened and Christopher and his girlfriend were assaulted. I don't know the specifics of why, where, how, etc., but what I do know is that the perpetrators were arrested. Chris testified in the first trial against one of the attackers, and he was found guilty and sent to jail. The second trial for the other offender would be taking place in November. Chris would be testifying in that trial as well. By August, Christopher had other things on his plate now. His twins were born, and one of them, their son, would sadly pass away. His daughter became his entire focus. But things were still going to be tough for Chris, because soon after, he and his girlfriend broke up and they found themselves in a custody battle. Poor Chris just could not seem to catch a break. In October of 2013, Christopher was doing as well as could be expected. He was working for a roofing company in nearby Vinton, Virginia, and he was really hopeful that things were going to start looking up for him soon. The disappearance. October 25th, 2013 began as any other Friday would for Christopher. His mom took him to work that morning and dropped him off around 6:30 a.m. He again worked at a roofing company in Vinton, Virginia. Chris began the day with his coworkers. They went to lunch around noon, and they were pleasantly surprised to find that by 1:30 p.m., they were finished with the job. It was going to be an early day. But Chris would have to improvise because he didn't have a ride planned until later in the day, closer to 5 o'clock. So a coworker offered to drive him to the Kroger in Vinton. This would allow Chris to cash his paycheck. He was seen on Kroger's surveillance video doing just that, and then he was seen leaving the store. His coworker friend would then drop him off across town at Chap's Tavern around 3:30 p.m. Now from here, Christopher would make a few phone calls, but he was seen alone. It was about an hour later, around 4:30 p.m., that he called a female friend, somebody that he was supposed to meet with in a little bit. He told her he was near the intersection of Garden City Boulevard and Riverland in Roanoke, Virginia. Their call would be cut short, however, because in the midst of talking to her, Chris suddenly stopped and said, quote, "Hang on, there's somebody I know," end quote. And from there, he abruptly hung up the phone. Now, after he didn't call her back for a while and she started trying to call him and learning that he wasn't going to answer the phone, she left to go find him and pick him up. She had been planning on picking him up around 5 o'clock near the Food Lion that was just about a half a mile from the intersection he said he was at. But when she got there, she couldn't find Chris anywhere. Now, soon his family also learned that his phone was going straight to voicemail and no one could reach him. When it became clear that no one could track him down for some time, and the family actually took 2 weeks on their own to try and find Chris, they finally decided they had to call the local authorities and report Chris as missing. It was the Vinton Police Department that would take the report, and soon the search for Chris would begin. Christopher Ray Douthat had disappeared. The search and investigation. Now, it's always tough to get investigators to search for missing adults, especially if that missing adult is a young man. Chris was 24 years old when he went missing. He had been through a tough, tough, tough year, and authorities wondered if that might have played a role in his disappearance. His family was 100% certain, however, that Chris was in need of help. He would not disappear without letting them know where he was going, and if he wasn't answering their calls and they couldn't find him anywhere, they were definitely fearful that something must have happened to him. This was not like Chris at all. Now, there aren't many details regarding the investigation process or even any boots on the ground type of searches that might have taken place, But I can tell you that authorities did use his phone records and witness statements, and they were able to confirm his timeline. Chris did arrive at Vinton Roofing for work that day between 6:30 and 7 a.m. He went to work at a job site at Ashley Plantation, and they would break for lunch around 11:30 a.m. Chris would get off of work around 1:30 p.m. He picked up his paycheck from Vinton Roofing, and then he got a ride with a coworker to the nearby Kroger in Vinton. He is seen on CCTV surveillance camera at 3:19, cashing his paycheck. From there, he was dropped off in the area of Chaps Tavern. Now, this is about 4 miles west of that Kroger and does have a Roanoke, Virginia address. He was dropped off there around 3:30 p.m. He made a phone call, according to his phone records, at 4:12 p.m. He made a second phone call at 4:14 p.m. And then he got a call from the woman he was supposed to meet at 4:22 p.m. For whatever reason, called that woman right back at 4:25 p.m. During that brief phone call with her, he said his location was near the intersection of Garden City Boulevard and Riverland. Now, this is the phone call where he abruptly stopped talking and said, "Hang on, there's somebody I know," and then he hung up the phone. From here, the trail goes completely cold. Investigators said they conducted over 100 interviews with people that were connected somehow to Chris. And sadly, while they had no evidence, they began to believe they were dealing with a homicide. And there were a few different theories that stood out to them right away, but we will get to theories in a few minutes. Meanwhile, Chris's mother and brother began pushing and pushing for answers. They were doing media interviews. They were pleading with someone, anyone, to come forward with information. But nothing valuable comes through. His family did set up a Facebook page to help gather info and awareness for Chris's case. You can find that page at Missing Christopher Douthat. And as always, I encourage you to go follow. As those follower numbers go up for that page, Facebook will promote it even more, and their posts will get seen by more people. You don't have to comment or post or do anything if you don't want to, but follow. Please follow. It helps show your support to the family. In January of 2018, the Virginia State Police took over the case from the Vinton Police Department. New detectives on the case helped bring some new life to the investigation, and for a while anyway, the family was hopeful. Leads were tracked all up and down the East Coast, but still nothing concrete was uncovered, at least nothing that we know about publicly. In February of 2024, Christopher was declared legally deceased. Investigators now can classify his disappearance as a homicide, and they can now utilize more and different resources than they were before. And in fact, investigators were able to file court documents to get a warrant to look through the Facebook account of a woman. Now, this woman had commented online stating that Christopher was dead and his body was in Philpot Lake. The documents do say the investigators filed for this search warrant. They were able to obtain it and they did interview the woman. Now, from there, we don't know what, if anything, came from that. Christopher's brother has kept on searching for him as well, even taking his missing person flyers and posting them up wherever he goes.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Roanoke and Vinton, Virginia. Now, as many missing person cases do, this story takes us to a couple of different locations, and I'm not sure why the different departments were involved in Chris's case, but let's start with the greater Roanoke area. Roanoke is located in the southwest region of Virginia, often referred to as the Roanoke region or Virginia's Blue Ridge region. It is situated in the Blue Ridge Mountains along the I-81 corridor, and it does serve as the primary, the largest metropolitan area in western Virginia. It's a beautiful mountain region among the gorgeous Blue Ridge Mountains and part of the greater Appalachia region. In fact, the Appalachian Trail passes nearby. The population of Roanoke is about 100,000 residents. But we do know that Chris was taken to work that morning, the morning of October 25th, 2013, and he was dropped off at his roofing job around 6:30. We know he got off early and a coworker took him to cash his check at the Kroger in Vinton. From here, he was dropped off near Chaps Tavern, about 4 miles to the west of Kroger. Chaps Tavern, from what I can tell, appears to be the Chaps Tavern located on Campbell Avenue in Roanoke, Virginia. Somehow, likely on foot, we suppose, he made his way to the intersection of Garden City Boulevard and Riverland. Now, this would make sense. It's definitely walkable as this location is only about 2 miles from Chaps Tavern. And this was around 4:30 p.m. when he was on the phone and told the woman where he was at. This is about an hour after he was dropped off near Chaps. He certainly could have easily made it 2 miles. It was also at that location and around that time, 4:30 p.m., when he abruptly ended that phone call telling her that there was someone he knew. That would be the last confirmed time anyone spoke to Chris. This intersection is about a half a mile from the Food Lion, where she was planning on picking Chris up. When she arrived there, Chris was nowhere to be found. So looking at the map, one of the most concerning things about this area is that the Roanoke River runs right by. The Roanoke River is a major river in the southeastern United States. It flows through Virginia and North Carolina. The average depth of this river is anywhere from 3 to 10 feet, although some areas can be 15 plus feet deep. And of course, with many rivers, water levels can fluctuate a lot, especially depending on rainfall or the time of year. There's a lot of mountain runoff with snow and ice, and that does cause a lot of waterways to flood. Interestingly, the Roanoke River has been associated with other missing person cases throughout the year. However, they've all been recovered. In 2021, Brent Gibson, age 26, was reported missing after he was last seen near the Roanoke River overlook on the Blue Ridge Parkway. His body was recovered from the river after an extensive multi-agency search that involved dive teams and rescue units. The cause of his death was never publicly stated. Adriana Keffer was also found in the Roanoke River in 2021. Adriana was 18 years old, and her death was ruled a homicide, and a suspect was charged in her case with second-degree murder. In 2018, after Hurricane Florence flooding affected the area, Betty Britt, known as Susie to her friends, age 53, was found in the Roanoke River. Her death was ruled an accidental drowning related to the flood conditions. Now, the general consensus is that with the water movements and the rainfall causing levels to go up and down, if a body was in the river, it's usually found. And this is the case everywhere. Unless there is debris or items in the river in which the body might get hung up on. Of course, the other concern with regard to the Roanoke area is not just the river, but the proximity to these rural mountain areas. There is plenty of rugged land and very rural land, very open and empty land that sometimes only locals might be aware of. This also causes a big problem in searching for missing persons. It takes specialized resources and properly trained search and rescue teams to search that area. It is just simply too dangerous for volunteer search efforts in many of these areas. Now, I do want to briefly mention Philpot Lake, since investigators did uncover someone online stating that that was where Chris's body is. Philpot Lake is about an hour's drive south of Roanoke. It's known for its clear water. The water often stays cold. It's a very quiet rural atmosphere, and it has a very rugged mountain-type shoreline. Philpot Lake is pretty big. It covers over 2,900 acres. Online, locals will describe the lake as remote and peaceful, surrounded by steep forested hills, with a lot of rocky coves and a lot of undeveloped shoreline. This lake in particular is less commercial and much, much quieter than other lakes in Virginia. This lake gives a very isolated wilderness feel, which is part of its appeal to some people. The depth of this lake varies significantly also, with some areas being over 100 feet deep. It isn't known if any searches were conducted of the lake or if this tip was dismissed completely, but it appears as if it could be a very difficult lake to search due to the depths, the remoteness, and the steep cliffs. Other missing person cases in Roanoke, Virginia. Angela Rader and Tammy Akers. Now, this case is going to take us all the way back to 1977. Angela Rader was last seen in Roanoke, Virginia on February 7th, 1977. Angela was with her friend, Tammy Lynn Akers. Both were 14 years old. Neither Angela nor Tammy showed up for school the next day. They were in junior high together, and they were never heard from again. Now, Angela had run away with her friend Tammy a time or two before, but both girls also worked for a friend of the family's, a man by the name of Earl Bramblett. Earl Bramblett has since been convicted for the 1994 murder of a family of four, and he was actually executed in April of 2003. Now, investigators can't say for certain, especially with Bramblett not around anymore, but they do believe that he likely played a part in the disappearance of Tammy and Angela, as many people have come forward to state that he allegedly told them he had wished that he hadn't hurt Tammy. However, he was never charged in either Angela or Tammy's disappearance, and there is no additional evidence pointing to what might have happened to the girls. Carol Ann Smith was last seen at her home on Richards Boulevard in Roanoke, Virginia on June 6, 1994. Neighbors saw her watering flowers in her yard around 7:15 a.m. This would be the last time anyone reportedly saw Carol. Now, there were rumors that Carol was having an affair, and she allegedly told her husband that she was leaving and he wouldn't have to worry about her anymore. But the husband's story was also suspicious to authorities, and many believe, especially Carol's family and her friends, that she would never, ever have left behind her two children. Carol Ann Smith is still missing to this day. Darlene Fleshman was last seen at the Apple Valley Motel in Roanoke, Virginia on September 8th, 2012. She has never been heard from again, although her belongings were located. Her vehicle, a purple 1994 Chevy Cavalier, disappeared with her. However, a few months later, the car was found abandoned in Roanoke. There is very little information on Darlene's case, and she remains a missing person to this day as well. Ariana Day. Ariana was last seen at her home on Hanover Avenue in Roanoke, Virginia on September 11th, 2018. Ariana was only 4 months old at the time. Now, her mother, Jessica Day, stated that she put her down to sleep, and when she came back in the room to check on her about an hour later, the baby was gone. She would call the police. It was around 11 o'clock p.m. And when they arrived, they found no signs of forced entry, but Jessica did tell them that she does keep the doors unlocked. Now, the investigation into Ariana's disappearance has been extensive, and authorities do believe that Ariana is deceased and both parents remain suspects, but no one has been charged in her disappearance. theories and possibilities. Okay, let's discuss what the theories are in Christopher Douthat's case. Now, because of his life circumstances at the time he went missing, there are a few very distinct theories, and really they are all as likely as the other. I'm certain there's going to be a variety of thoughts on his case. I don't know that we necessarily have one theory that stands out much more than the others, as we often do in missing person cases. So I'm going to discuss the four major thoughts in his case in no particular order. Theory number one, foul play for robbery. Christopher had just cashed his paycheck. Did someone see him do so? How much money did he have on him? Is it possible someone knew that he had that cash on him? Now, the part that gives me pause about this theory, however, is that comment he made while on the phone. He seemed to know the person approaching him. Now, that could be unrelated to his case altogether. Maybe he just saw a friend on the street, although I'd have to wonder why that person who approached him, if they were innocent, hasn't come forward to identify themselves and say so, unless perhaps they're just too scared to, or were they guilty of something? So in this instance, it could be a stranger who saw him cash his check, or could even be someone that he knew who also knew he had cashed a check. But murdering someone, if that's what happened here, seems beyond extreme to just rob someone for their cash, unless something went very, very wrong in the process.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Theory number two, foul play related to his custody case. Now, we don't have a lot of specifics on this custody case, but some have come forward to state that it was a very intense case and that both sides were fighting hard and it was pretty tumultuous. The two were not getting along. Now, this certainly would not be too far a stretch, as we've seen things like this happen before. Emotions run high and serious things can happen. Did someone purposefully take Christopher out of the equation because of this custody dispute? Do we have any more details about that case, about that relationship, and specifically about that domestic issue? Because we know very little, I'd say this theory cannot be ruled out yet either. Theory number three, foul play related to the upcoming court case. Christopher was set to testify in a court case regarding his assault back in February of that year, 2013. Since he was the one that was assaulted, his testimony would be key in that case. Did someone want to stop Christopher from testifying? Again, something we have seen happen before. Without knowing more, I'd say this is still a very real possibility. Theory number four, self-harm. Now, this is sometimes discussed because of all the troubles that Chris had been going through that year, and there is no denying that he was pretty much having a bad year. He had been assaulted in February. In August, his infant son passed away, and then he and his girlfriend split up, leading to what some have said was a fierce custody battle. That would be a lot for anyone, no matter how strong you are. Did Christopher just have enough? Did something else maybe happen that day? Or was something else going on in his life that might have pushed him over the edge, so to speak? But if so, where is he? And his family stands by the fact that he would not leave them behind, and he especially wouldn't leave his baby daughter behind. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts with regards to what might have happened to Christopher Douthat? Christopher Douthat is described as a Caucasian male standing about 6 feet tall and weighing around 180 pounds when he was last seen in October of 2013. He has brown hair and blue eyes. He was last known to be wearing a dark gray hooded sweatshirt with a Snap-on Tools logo on the front, khaki pants, white shoes, and a brown baseball hat. He has a tribal band tattoo on his right bicep. Anyone with any information at all regarding Chris Douthat, no matter how big or small you think that information might be, is asked to contact the Virginia State Police at 540-375-9589. Thank you so much for listening to Chris's story today. Young men who go missing often receive far less attention than others, and someone out there just might hold the key to solving this case. Before we wrap up Chris's story, I do want to play part of a song that a friend posted on the Facebook page, a song that was written for Chris. Now, the entire song can be found on that Facebook page. Again, the link will be in the notes, but I want you to take a listen to some of it here. Of course, if you have made it this far and would like to help our podcast reach more people, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. And a huge, huge, huge thank you to those who have done so already. It truly does help these stories get the exposure they deserve. If you are interested in all of our episodes ad-free, completely ad-free, you can join us over on Patreon. Not only are all of our episodes up over there without ads, you can also find occasional bonus episodes as well. Our latest bonus episode talks about the disappearance of a retired school teacher who left her house to go for a walk and never returned. The link to our Patreon page can be found in the show notes. And a big thank you, a huge thank you to our newest patrons, Matthew, Birdie, and Simone. Thank you so, so much for supporting our show and supporting our mission, which is to continue sharing these missing person stories with you. It also helps us to pay it forward directly to the families of the missing and to the charities who work with these families every day. If we do have any case updates or news on any missing person cases, whether that's cases we've covered or others, we will share that over on our socials first. You can find the Where Are They podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And you can also find our episodes in video format over on YouTube. This is a great way we can share more photos of the missing person, as well as any other relevant pictures, such as evidence photos, maps, etc. All of those links will be in the show notes, or you can always just search for the Where Are They podcast. And if you do have any feedback for us or case suggestions, please reach out anytime via the socials or email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. Specifically, I want to hear about the cases that are not receiving any media attention or at least getting very little media attention. Maybe they had some attention at one point and all of that has since fizzled out. In any event, it's the cases that need more exposure that I'm looking for. Lastly, if you are looking for additional information on any of the cases we cover, such as sources or links, you can head on over and follow the blog at our website, wherearethepodcast.com. And if you're looking for any past episodes, you can find all of that on our website as well. Thank you again for listening to Chris's story today and for helping us keep his story out there. Please share, 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 and let's get more eyes on his case. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing person story. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.